Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And we have a very special guest with us, between us. It is, shush, it's Jo Travers.
Hello.
Correct, that's your name. And
1 point on the scoreboard for Jo.
That's right. Identification, correct. And she is a nutritionist, a mother of two, a registered dietitian. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And a South Londoner as well.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah. So you're from the London Nutritionist, is that right?
That's right, yes.
So whereabouts are you based?
So I'm based in South East London. I'm a South East Londoner, yes.
Hooray!
So I live on Telegraph Hill and I have a clinic there. And I also have a clinic in Clerkenwell as well.
Oh, nice to have another local person on the podcast, isn't it? Keep it local.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's almost as if we only invite people who only live like a £7 taxi ride away.
Yeah, kawinky dink. Well, welcome, dear Jo, to the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you for actually accepting to be here, because obviously our symbol is fish fingers, and you've come on this podcast when we champion unhealthy eating, but you're here to educate us, so thank you very much.
What is the nutritional value or not of fish fingers, actually, while we're at it?
Okay, right, fish fingers are, okay, you can go from the really healthy to the really unhealthy. There are so many different types of fish fingers that actually you can't give a blanket, yeah, they're fine. You have to look at the label.
Who knew?
And don't go by price alone, because the Jamie Oliver ones are really expensive and nowhere near as good as the slightly cheaper Sainsbury's own brand ones.
Really? Why are the Jamie ones so bad?
They're quite high in salt. They're really expensive. They don't taste that great. They're made of cod, which is expensive and quite overfished, but doesn't taste that different to actually the cheaper ones, which are pollock. You know, all things considered, you can get a really good fish finger for not very much money that tastes quite nice.
Yeah, so get out, Jamie, with your, take your posh, expensive fish fingers and off. Is that what you're saying, basically? That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, you read between the lines really well there.
That's what I do, I nutshell things.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm like a one-woman Twitter.
Yeah, and remember that there's different coatings as well. So you can get those ones that are in batter and they're really unhealthy. Don't go for those ones, go for the breadcrumb ones.
What about the ones rolled in quinoa? I guess that's the ideal nutritional.
I've never come across them, actually.
I've just made them up.
Is that how you make your fish fingers when you make them from scratch?
Yes, that's right. I go to Holland and Barrett, I buy 100 weight of quinoa, and I just get the fish, and then I apply a very thin layer of Pritt stick and roll them in the quinoa, and it's delicious. The kids love it.
We'll move on from fish finger talk.
Okay. I could talk about them all night, but let's...
I do. Do you know what I do like is fish fingers three between two slices of very cheap white bread, a very crispy iceberg lettuce, and a lot of mayonnaise.
I believe the word you're looking for is sandwich.
That's it.
Fish finger sandwich, we call it in this country.
Sandwich between two bits of bread. Okay, thank you, Earl.
That's a balanced meal, isn't it?
It is quite balanced.
See?
There's a couple of things. For a kid, actually, that's quite good because white bread is higher in iron.
Oh.
Well, it's higher in available iron. So actually, for in terms of iron content and not filling up a kid with fibre...
Okay. You
know, so they've got plenty.
Nobody
of
wants a child full of fibre. It's not when they're still in nappies.
No.
But also, if you fill them up with fibre, then they don't get enough energy to grow. So because they're too full, they can't eat enough. So actually, white bread is a better choice for children.
Is that right?
Yeah. So is that particularly what... young children.
So how old are your little ones?
So I've got a 3-year-old and 4.5-month-old.
And they're on the white bread.
Well, actually, I make my own bread. So.
Oh, here we go.
I don't make it because I am holier than thou. I make it because I actually prefer the taste.
Oh, believe me, my friend, you are holier than me. I promise you that.
I'm not doing it because I'm really worthy or anything. I have a bread machine. I put the ingredients in and then it like comes out in a loaf. It's not like I'm kneading away being really,
yeah.
You know.
So, how long have you been a nutritionist?
Well, I started being a nutritionist probably about 7 years ago. And then I decided to do a degree in dietetics as well.
So what is the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian? Because it's quite important, isn't it, I think?
It can be, yeah. So you can get really good nutritionists. But because it's not a protected title, anyone can actually call themselves a nutritionist.
Can I call myself
yes,
a nutritionist?
You can.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, whereas a dietitian is a protected title and it's regulated by the same people that do physiotherapists and occupational therapists and those kind of things. So, and if you don't abide by their code of practice, you can get struck off and all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, if you go around telling people to eat Jamie Oliver fish fingers, that's it. Off the register.
It's like Gillian McKeith, isn't it?
You know? Yeah, so Gillian McKeith, yeah. When you do your, like, introduction to being a dietitian, they really slag her off. It's so funny.
Do they?
It is really funny.
So I said, look, we don't condone you getting your clients to shit in a bucket and then you go,
definitely not.
Well, it's funny you could say that because I've actually got a bucket just here that I prepared before the start of the recording. I wonder if you could have a little sniff of that,
Potty surprise, potty surprise.
Yeah. Would you say that's... I mean, texturally, it's quite impressive. I think you'll agree.
That's it.
It's a colour, it's quite length. To just leave.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's I've locked the doors. So yeah, what do you think of Gillian McKeith? And is she just a witch doctor, basically?
Oh, yeah, she's just full of rubbish, basically.
Flaxseed.
I once did hear her say that it's good to eat green stuff because it helps photosynthesis in the stomach.
And what?
But photosynthesis... The name even suggests, and any GCSE biology student will tell you that you actually need light for photosynthesis. So, she is just rubbish.
You were a nutritionist before you had children. Did having a child change your approach to children nutrition?
To child nutrition, yeah, because I used to do weaning workshops before I'd done weaning for myself. And I didn't realise actually how daunting a process it was, or it is, because... I don't know, I just sort of thought you just follow the rules. But actually, when it was coming up to sort of like 4.5 months, 5 months, and I was thinking, should I be feeding? Should I start now? I don't know, my mother-in-law is telling me that I should have put some rusk in a bottle. You know, so you do, and you're under all this pressure. Mm. And actually, it was quite daunting. But it also changed the way that I ate because I lived pretty much on chocolate biscuits. For the first...
Oh, hallelujah! Oh, joke!
Especially when you're breastfeeding, if you're bottle feeding and you're sterilising and you're doing all that kind of thing, you're kind of in the meal production zone. But when you're breastfeeding, you don't do any of that stuff. You just kind of get your boob out whenever you need to feed. So when I did suddenly start having to produce 3 meals a day, I went into a bit of a meltdown. It's like, God, I now need to do all of this stuff all of the time.
Mm.
And kind of, I don't know, come up with interesting things and start freezing it and pureeing and all sorts of things like that. So, yes, it did change the way.
Are you a fan of baby-led weaning?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but really, in practice, I think a combination of the two. I mean, it's lovely. Baby-led weaning is a lovely idea. So you offer your baby a huge array of foods, and it should be brightly coloured, and it should be interactive, and they should be able to pick things up and put it in their mouth, and that is a lovely process, and it's really interesting for them and it's fun for you and they get to experience lots of different flavours. But actually
Angel Delight butterscotch and Smarties.
Yes, absolutely.
at the same time, it's also nice to just shove a spoonful of yogurt in their mouth. Mm. I mean, you know, you can give yogurt and do finger painting with it, and yeah, that's all fun and lovely, but actually, unless you're going to get it into their mouth, they're not going to get any of the calcium from it, they're not going to get any of the protein. So in practice, a combination of the two, spoon feeding and baby led weaning is great. And also, baby led weaning is, you know, fine if you've got 4 hours to have lunch, but actually if you're busy or you've got a life other than your child, it can be a bit wearing because it takes a long time for a baby to get food into their mouth. So I think basically a combination of the two is absolutely fine. The other thing to say is that actually baby led weaning was invented by this woman who had no qualifications or anything like that. She's just like, oh, this is a good idea, and she wrote a book about it, and the middle classes really grasped it and thought, this is a lovely way to feed your child, which it is. And it kind of escalated and snowballed, and there's hardly any research or evidence done into whether it's better or worse or anything like that. So it is catching up, like people are doing studies into it now, but it's been, I don't know,
it's, but it's one of those phrases that gets bandied around, and when you're in baby groups, it's like, oh no, we've decided to do baby led weaning. It's like, I've chosen to buy a Volvo. It's a very funny term that I think, but it is, it's not practical all the time.
No. I gave it a go, and it just sort of ended up where everything in the room was covered in potato, with me just going, wean, wean yourself, wean, at my son, which he thought was hilarious. So
it was fine. Oh dear. I have a 2 year old who won't eat greens. Is that a question you get asked quite a lot as a nutritionist about getting kids to eat vegetables? Have you got?
I do get asked that a lot. Yeah. I think lots of kids are like that. And you have to realise that actually vegetables, and it sounds quite a strange thing when you've been eating vegetables for years and years and years, but it is quite difficult to predict what a vegetable is going to do once it gets into your mouth. So because they come in all different textures and sizes and shapes and different ways of cooking it and that kind of thing. So if a child isn't familiar with a particular food, then actually they can look at sweet corn and go, that looks weird. What on earth is that going to do when it gets into my mouth? And although they might not actually be thinking in those processes, their brain is telling them, be a bit wary of that. But then once you've got it in your mouth and you've chewed it up, you've then got to swallow it. And so there's all sorts of things going on. So the ideal situation is before a child reaches the age of one, then when they're really susceptible to new things and they don't question everything and they haven't got that, you know, blossoming independence that we are nurturing.
That is so nice. Yeah. That is the nicest term I've ever heard.
Then if you can get as many textures and flavours and tastes into them as possible so that they become familiar with foods, because they're much less likely, they still will, but they're much less likely to say no to a food that they know already.
See, I thought I'd done that. Charlie, until he was one, or even a bit later, Charlie would eat anything, and he would eat broccoli and cauliflower and just, you know, stuff I wouldn't eat. That's revolting. You know, and I was like, oh, he's wonderful. And then he suddenly just, one day, he just was like, no, it's only cheese and chips for me until I'm 18.
And I think that is something that happens to a lot of kids, because once they do have this blossoming independence, actually one of the few things that they can control is mealtimes, and they can say no. Once they learn to say no, it becomes kind of addictive because it has it causes a reaction. I think every child does go through a phase of saying no a lot at mealtimes. But he'll eat greens.
That's reassuring.
But keep offering them, because the more familiar they become with them. Okay. And, you know, you can also do things like, actually, for them to become familiar with food, you can play games. So you can say, okay, what is this going to feel like? Is it going to be slimy? Is it going to be crunchy? Is it going to crumble? What's it going to taste like, do you think? And you can ask them these things and turn it into a game and then get them to do it. And you can score it off on a chart, see how well they guessed what it was going to be like. So there's lots of things that you can do if you've got the time and the energy.
Yeah. Could you play actual games, right? So I think you could get like hungry hippos and then replace the little balls with peas.
Something like that.
Yeah, be good. Yeah. Monopoly, but like every time you pass go, you get a carrot.
Oh, something like that. Nice. Yeah.
That's really good, actually.
It's £1 million in that idea.
That's it. Dragon's Den.
I hope Annabelle Carmel's not listening, because that'll be her next book.
That's it. Roll the dice with Annabelle.
So Helen and I read an article in the Daily Express. I'm joking, of course. It was the Guardian. Shocker. Helen and I read this article in the Guardian a few weeks ago called "Is Your Child a Fussy Eater? Here's What Not to Say." And this article has got all these things that saying you shouldn't say to your child if they're not eating their food. And I think I've said pretty much all of
them. Yeah, this is just basically what I say to my children at dinner time. And then I read this article in the Guardian, and funny enough, I'm incorrect. So can you shed some light on it? So it's got all these sort of phrases that I think most parents say, like, you're not getting any pudding unless you eat your dinner, begging.
Yeah, so let's start with that one. So when Charlie does eat, like, veggies or whatever, I say, oh, that's great, Charlie. It's really good that you're eating those delicious vegetables. They're so nice. Is that bad?
No, that's not bad.
Okay.
That's fine.
The Guardian says it's bad, Joe. The Guardian says it's bad. Disagree with the Guardian. I thought you were middle class.
That's not bad. You know, every kid needs a bit of praise, and when they're doing something well, you know, you should, or you're doing something that you're pleased with, you should tell them that you're pleased with it. Otherwise, you know, their life is a bit boring.
Mm.
So that's absolutely fine. Don't worry about that.
Okay. What about that one?
The next one. You're not getting any pudding unless you eat more of your dinner.
Okay. There's two schools of thought on this.
What's the right one, Jo? Come on.
So I think the right one is don't bribe them with pudding, because what happens is they automatically start to resent the carrots that you're making them eat.
Okay.
And that is a bad food habit to establish early on. So don't do that. But at the same time, pudding is a really good way, particularly with young children who need lots of energy. It's a really good way of getting extra calories into them, and you can get some extra nutrients. So if you're giving a pudding, like, even if it's something like ice cream, you know, that's got loads of calcium in it. So you're getting extra nutrients in. So pudding is a good thing. And saying, you know, restricting puddings when they haven't eaten their dinner is not ideal, really.
Okay.
So what you should do is you should kind of balance the amount of pudding you're giving them with what they've eaten during that. So it's a bit of
What about this one? But you like that. Like, so yeah, I have this with Charlie. Like, one day, sweet corn's fine, everything's rosy, very nice. The next day, absolutely can't bear it. It's like I've given him a dog turd on a plate. Now, should I be saying, but you like that, you ate that yesterday, what's the problem?
I don't know if this is... I think this is a bit of a red herring, really, because I think it's fine to say that. I don't see where the problem is, really. Because if you're reminding them that they do actually like it, or every child is different as well, and you know what your child responds to. If they don't respond to that kind of thing, if they rebel against it, then it's not helpful to say it. Mm. But actually, if your child is quite, you know, they need a little bit of reassurance and encouragement, then that's absolutely fine to give them that.
Mm. I don't care if you don't eat it, I just want you to try a little bit. Like, is that okay to sort of say that?
I think that... Actually, if you have a general rule of you try everything on the plate, because, you know, the chances are they're not going to like a food the first time they try it. Mm. But the more they try it, the more familiar they become with it, then actually they might start to like it. I don't know. Did you have any things you didn't like when you were a kid that you like now?
Oh. Oysters, cigarettes, champagne.
There you go, you see.
Yeah. There we are.
And you know, you might not have liked them the first time. It takes a while to get into smoking, I remember.
Gosh. Oh, at least an hour.
So, yeah, you know, it does take a little bit of practice.
I still don't like whiskey or olives. I keep waiting to grow up and start liking them, and it hasn't.
Whiskey and olives, but yeah, I did go on exchange to Glasgow. And that's what I lived on. And cheesy chips.
Glasgow is so well known for its olives.
Well, that's right. It's called the New Toscano. yeah, because I sometimes feel a bit overwhelmed with all the different advice about healthy eating. And also the pressure, I think, of especially toddlers. And you go out for dinner and you see all these other families with lovely, well-behaved children. And my kids are just going, it's green. Yeah, pushing it away. And you go, oh, I'm the failure mother. And... you know, is it all down to us, or is it, you know...
It's your fault, Helen, it's your fault. She said I can call myself a nutritionist. I'm a nutritionist, and I'm telling you it's your fault.
Experience, I think, is because most families whose kids don't eat green stuff don't go out to restaurants because they're embarrassed that their children don't eat things.
Oh, that's where I'm going wrong.
Yeah, we need to go to more restaurants.
Yeah, so actually, what you're seeing is a skewed view of.
Okay. Yeah, I need to hide my children away.
Because everybody that you're seeing, like, it's parents that are very confident that their children won't misbehave in restaurants, generally speaking. So, behind closed doors, loads of people are going through exactly the same thing that you are. So don't worry too much. Don't beat yourself up about it.
That Guardian article is full of nonsense.
That's it.
I'm a nutritionist. I should know.
That's it.
I know nonsense when I see it.
That's it.
Now, here's a big one, right? I'm going to say one word. I want you to say the first thing that comes into your dietitian's head. Sugar.
Oh, sugar. Yeah, it's the sexy thing at the moment. It's all I ever get asked about these days. Oh.
Yeah. Well,
basically, if you don't eat processed food.
Yeah.
The amount of sugar you get is quite minimal and it's quite manageable. You know, if you don't work and you've got nothing else to do and you can cook every meal from scratch, then that's fine. But also you have to think about, like, for example, breakfast cereal is loaded with sugar. It's really high sugar, really high salt. It's not good for you, but it is very culturally established. And people love cereal. Mm. It's not the best thing to have for breakfast.
I like a fry-up. Is a fry-up better or worse than cereal? She's thinking about it. Come on, save me.
Okay. But it depends what perspective you're coming from.
A bacony one.
When you look at every food, like, you can't just say that food's healthy, that food's unhealthy. You have to look at it in terms of a balanced diet. So, for example, if you're having your bacon grilled and you're having your eggs poached.
No.
I mean, one pan. She's a one pan girl.
Okay. So if you fry everything, okay, bacon is not healthy whichever way you look at it, really.
Okay,
but if you're having it in moderation, it's absolutely fine. If you're having it, but I would say
less than 18 rashers a day. So
I would say bacon is, and processed pork in general, so salami, sausages, bacon, chorizo, you know, all of that stuff, those are the things which actually are possibly the most unhealthy meats.
Possibly. She said possibly, Helen. She said possibly. Cling on to that.
Oh, I love.
Yeah, there could be unhealthier meats, but I can't think of any at the moment. So a healthier meat would be something that doesn't have so much salt, doesn't have nitrates and nitrites in them, which is what they use to keep the meat pink. Something that's, you know, a lean cut. Because sausages...
things that I love so much.
Sausages and bacon and salami, those things, they're really high in fat. So, but if you're not watching your weight, then, you know, they're a kind of every so often food. It's fine to have them every so often, but actually... they're really high in salt, they're really high in fat, they're really high in all of those things which are not
and
good.
High in flavour.
Yes, they are high in flavour.
High in
and
joy.
Actually, I love them
high
so.
In joy.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But... We are listening, Joe.
If you avoid giving sugar, it makes it this kind of thing that it makes it a big thing. If you just say, you know, my 3-year-old will say to me, can I have some chocolate or can I have an ice cream? And sometimes I'll say, yeah, that's fine. And I don't make a big deal about it at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's just part of a diet.
Yeah.
But if she says it to me twice in a day, I was like, no, chocolate is a... sometimes food. So, which is, and actually starting...
so you don't say it's a treat.
No, it's a sometimes food. So treat...
ah, that's better.
Because in later life, you'll always have that association. You know, the foods that we eat for comfort, those kinds. So if you associate them with treats or rewards, then it just it will always be there.
Do you subscribe to this new kind of idea that's floating around that that actually sugar is the enemy and fat is actually fine and we can all just go and have a lard sandwich?
A bit, but not to that extreme.
Well, you know, obviously put a bit of lettuce in there.
But yeah, a little bit. I think that refined sugar is a real problem in our diet. And fat, you know, fat has some good... It depends how much you're having. If you really need to lose weight and you're having a really high-fat diet, it's not going to help you lose weight, for example. But, you know, fat has fat-soluble vitamins. It also has, you know, other bits and pieces in it, which are actually quite good. It also makes food palatable. If you're having a, if you're only choosing low-fat foods or fat-free foods, then you end up eating disgusting food all the time. And that's no good because you can't, it's not sustainable. Hmm. So having a balance is really important. And having delicious olive oil dressing on your salad is lovely. Or frying your eggs is absolutely fine. It's really not the end of the world. But ladening your cereal, cornflakes, which have already got loads of refined sugar in them, with more sugar is not a good idea.
Mm. Good. Just so, sprinkle a bit of lard on instead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes, you've got it. Lovely. Yeah.
And where do you stand on the, like, so Charlie gets quite a lot for a lot of the, like, the goodies things. Like, you know, you get the goodies crisps and the and the little gingerbread men and the cheese crackers and stuff. And I sort of justify that in my head because they say organic on them and they say it's for toddlers. So I assume that they're sort of low salt and sugar and you know, it's fine. Is it fine? Please say it's fine.
Well, they probably are low salt and sugar. They're definitely low salt. They have quite a bit of sugar in. Well, yeah, it's quite... Some of them, the sweeter ones, are high in sugar. But it is still better to not give those processed foods, definitely. Mm. So it's better to come up with different snacks. Like, it sounds really boring, but... Or like a Dairyly Triangle, for example.
Oh, yeah? That's better than a goodies crisps.
So that's got calcium in it, it's got protein in it. You know, it is a processed cheese, but actually it's just cheese. You know, it's relatively low salt. So if you were to give 10 Dairyly Triangles, that would be too many. But a
that would be like a whole wheel.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah, so that's...
Take you an hour to unwrap the silver paper.
I just like eating them while I'm looking for other food in the fridge. Like, they're just amazing. It just ends up in my mouth, a Dairyly Triangle.
Just easy eating. Yeah, it does depend on what the child likes, so what their favourite things are. So
crisps.
Crisps are, you know, they're okay, but you have to watch the salt content. So if they love crisps, actually going for the goodies ones is not a bad thing. You know, it's not the end of the world at all. If your child doesn't like fruit and vegetables, then think about what they do like, and anything can be a snack. Anything at all. So
paper,
lamb chops.
Yeah, whatever you have. So go to the supermarket, have a browse, see what's there. So, you know, you might, your child might like samosas, for example. Perfect snack, brilliant. Okay, much better than having a packet of goodies crisps, which has got nothing in it. You know, a samosa, although it's fried in vegetable oil, so it's not the end of the world. You know, if your child is not overweight, then it's not a problem that they're having all that extra energy, because they need that energy. It's got some protein in it, it's got some vegetables in it, you know, those kind of things. So there's all sorts of things that you could try. You just have to kind of be open to them and you know, work with your child, obviously, because some won't like samosas.
I'll be buying 100 of them tomorrow. So tell us about your recipe books, Jo.
Okay, my recipe books, they're just self-published ones, and I actually wrote them for specific people. But you can buy them if you like.
Please tell us more.
Go to my website and buy them. There's one for vegetarians, and there's also one for carnivores as well. And basically, they are really, really easy recipes. They're for people who don't like cooking.
Oh.
So they're not particularly healthy. They're not balanced particularly or anything like that. They're
Sell it, Jo. Go on.
They're just recipes that you can use for easy meals. So it's just about people getting interested in cooking and, you know, not feeling too oppressed by the idea that they have to do, I don't know, get a Jamie Oliver book with... I'm really down on Jamie Oliver, aren't I? But,
yeah.
You know, a recipe book that might have 20 ingredients. Mm. It doesn't have to be like that. You can have some really easy staples that you can use for all sorts of things. So, yeah, those are my recipe books.
Oh, so where do people go if they want to have...
If you
want
to get them, you can go to my website, which is thelondonnutritionist.co.uk, and if you look on the About Me section, you'll find a link to where you can buy them from.
Fabulous. Now, just lastly, how much wine can we drink?
I don't know how much. I'm guessing quite a lot.
I'm not sure you meant to phrase that. Because I can tell you the answer is a lot. I can confirm.
Oh, dear. Sorry. Would you on a boat?
To be honest, no. The government guidelines, so, you know, 14 units a week for women and 21 units for men, they were actually just sort of plucked out of the air. They had to give some guide.
Yeah.
So they just decided on those. There was no real evidence for that.
Okay.
But what there is evidence for is actually giving your liver a break, because it takes time to process alcohol, because it's a toxin, and it takes time to process it through your liver.
Mm.
If you...
She says...
If you don't... clink. If you don't ever give your liver a break, what happens is the alcohol stays in your liver, and that's what causes cirrhosis, which is the bad stuff.
Okay.
So...
I bought my mother some of those. Your mother's there.
So having two consecutive alcohol-free days a week is what's is the most important thing, because actually, and they say you shouldn't binge drink. So they say you shouldn't binge drink either, because it can actually really affect your pancreas.
What do you mean, okay, by binge? Joke.
This is what's scary.
Helen, right? You know how many drinks we normally have? That's binge drinking.
When I fall over and hit barbecue with my head.
Actually, the definition of binge drinking is having twice the recommended amount on any one day. So the recommended amount is, for a woman, is 2 units, okay?
What?
In one day. If you have twice that, so
that's a shot.
4 units.
Yeah.
That is called a binge.
But is that a large glass or a small glass?
Okay, so a large glass has got about 2.5 units in it.
Uh-oh. So 2 large glasses of wine. We're binge drinking right now. I am binge drunk.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
So really, let's be...
I'm so embarrassed.
So, you know, talking about binge drinking is a bit unhelpful, because everybody binge drinks all the time.
Yeah, that's the fun bit. But just
what
don't
we need
too
to
much.
Do is cut down a bit. Just shave our binge.
I think...
Keep your binge neat. No.
So
all I want to know is... is that I don't end up with one of those really big red noses like the alcoholic.
Have you looked in the mirror? Sorry, I'm joking.
No, that's her clown's nose. She's just come back from the circus.
You know that look of the old man with the really big red nose?
Yeah.
It's like he has been drinking claret his whole life. I don't want one of those noses. Because apparently your nose keeps growing.
What?
What? Your nose gets bigger over time.
If your dad's name is Geppetto, what are you talking about?
Oh, no, it's
true. I have heard that.
Yeah,
ears as well.
Yeah.
But is that just men?
It's ladies. I'm sure my mum's nose is bigger than mine.
Wow. We are really cracking nuts tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
The Venn diagram of nose size and nutrition tonight.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Oh, so just one more question related to the wine. So quite often when Helen and I go out and do a stand-up gig together, and we maybe have one or two very, very small glasses of spritzer.
Thimbles.
Often when we get back to Southeast London, we like to enjoy locally produced food, by which I do, of course, mean favourite chicken and rib, fried chicken. So, how bad is that? Are we going to die?
No, as long as...
Keep eating chicken burgers at 12 o'clock at night.
Kill you. It depends how often you do it, though. If you do it really often, then it's not going to do you any favours.
Once a week?
Once a week's probably a bit too much, to be honest.
Lay off the fried ribs, Ellie.
But if you're doing it once in a while, it's really not the end of the world. But I'd say that once a week is probably a bit much.
Okay. And also, I was lying when I said it was only once a week, so... Thank you, Jo.
Well, we've cracked that nut. Good.
Are you surprised by that answer?
No. No, I'm not. I'm just saddened. I'm not surprised. Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
I think that's quite a nice segue to move into our game of, did they really eat that?
Yes.
Because Ellie does really eat that.
Oh, Ellie really is. I've got photographic evidence, my friend. I think I've talked about it before. You chewing chicken and throwing the bones over your shoulder in the street like Henry VIII.
I had drunk about 27 glasses of wine, so that was fine. But yes, Ellie and I were talking the other day about all the different things that we've eaten just in that day, actually, but no, throughout our time, because Ellie is quite a well-travelled lady, and we were talking to our kids, actually. It's like, would you eat a horse, Matilda? Yes! Would you eat this? And Ellie started listing it off. So we've got a...
And then I went too far when we pulled into the Tesco Express.
Yeah.
And Matilda went, what are you going in the Tesco Express to get? And I went, warthog's testicles. And she went, no! No! Okay. Right, so what we're going to do is we've all written down some weird things that we've eaten, or maybe not have eaten. I've thrown in a couple of wild cards.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Now, I'm going to ask you if you've eaten it. If you have, you get a point. If you haven't, obviously get no points. So at the end, we're going to see who's the most disgusting. And yeah, so let's begin the game, which we're calling, Helen.
Did they really eat that?
Oh, I like that.
It's like,
yeah.
Are you really going out with him? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit
Did you
like
really
that, isn't it?
Eat that?
Yeah. There's one of the words are the same.
Yeah.
So that's the same. Good. Are you excited, Joe?
Yeah.
Go.
You look a bit... nauseous already. It's good. Okay. Have you ever eaten zebra sausages? Yes.
No.
No.
Giraffe? What?
No.
I haven't.
I have. Snail and banana stew?
No.
No.
I have eaten that.
What? Yep. Where did you eat that?
In Vietnam. My Vietnamese housemates made it and I had to eat it very politely. Nice. chicken's feet?
No.
No.
Yep. Frog's legs?
Yes.
No.
Yep. Frey Bentos steak and ale pie.
Yes.
No. Yes. Oh, you bloody English.
It comes in a tin, you know.
I know. It's one of the Scummy Mummy's favourite food.
Favourite. Yeah. Right. Pig's anus tagine.
No.
Me neither. That is a fake Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall dish that Helen and I made up for a sketch. breast milk.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't say eaten. I've tasted. Does that count?
Yeah. I think have you, Helen?
Yeah, well, my own. Just to...
Your own, okay. You've drunk your own. For an extra point, somebody else's breast milk.
No.
No.
Yes.
Well, your mum's.
No, I've drunk Jessie's. Oh. I've drunk Jessie's breast milk. Jessie, regular podcast, Jessie. Yeah, that was a fun night. emu samosa.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've not eaten that.
No. I haven't.
Oh. Ants.
Yep.
Ah,
ants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a good one. Testicles, brackets, cows.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
how do you
what
eat?
Like?
Yeah.
If you go to Dalston, you
can of course. Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say like Delhi or like Dhaka, but no. If you go to Dalston,
yes.
They do sheep's and cows. I only tried cows. That was enough. I couldn't.
Oh, and now what are testicles like? I mean, animal ones.
They're sort of quite meaty.
I imagine to be like little rubbery, like squash balls, but with a bit of string.
They're not as dense as that.
Mm. Oh,
it's not like eating a squash ball, definitely not.
No.
But they're
I mean, I haven't eaten a squash ball for years, but...
No.
Yeah.
But the flavour was quite nice, but then it was kind of like kebab flavoured.
Mm. Like a kofta.
Just like that.
Yeah. I don't say that. You judge. You were like not 2 minutes ago. You were judging me for eating fried chicken, and you're sitting here going, "Yeah, I've eaten cow's testicles. It's not a big deal." Seriously. The scores on the doors. In third place, Helen. Yeah. Shockingly, you are the least disgusting person here tonight.
Oh.
And then in second place, Joe. And I've just beaten you with 1 point, so I am the most disgusting, but for the smallest possible margin.
Congratulations,
so,
Ellie.
Yeah.
You don't get £1,000, unfortunately.
That's right. You get a cow's testicle.
Yay!
Oh, well, there we go. We're nearly at the end, Helen, aren't we?
I know, but before we go... It is, of course, Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray!
And, oh, we've got a very nice one from a listener this week, Ellie.
Oh.
Oh, yes. This one comes from Nicola.
Hello, Nicola.
Hi there. And she wrote to us and said that her child did a poo in the potty and she went upstairs and she forgot about it. And then she came down to find that the dog had licked the bowl clean.
Shame.
Mm. Oh, for a food themed podcast.
Yeah,
I hope you weren't eating, listeners.
Sorry about that.
That's...
Pop your hot dog down. But you know, two birds with one stone and all that. Dog fed, yeah. Body clean.
I actually feel a bit ill. I do feel a bit ill.
Must have been all that food you just ate, Ellie.
Oh, can we move on swiftly? What's your...
In that vein, I had a moment of insanity the other day. My daughter had a quick bit of diarrhea and she'd stuck her finger up her bottom and had poo on her finger and went, "Mummy, this really smells," and then wiped that on my trousers. But at the same time, my son, who's two, was just throwing sand into the lounge room from the back garden, like just the fistfuls of sand. So I was stuck between being wiped with my daughter's own poo and my son coating my lounge in sand.
Oh.
I wanted to lose my mind. I was losing my mind. I wanted to kill my husband. That was my Scummy Mummy confession.
So my Scummy Mummy confession this week is food related. The other week I went to Neil's Yard Dairy. Very
lovely.
Nice.
Very nice.
Middle class cheese shop up London. And bought some very expensive cheese. And Charlie's like, I want some cheese. So I gave him a bit. And he went, "I don't like it, Mummy. I don't like it." And sort of opened his gob. And I thought, God, that cheese was like £4. So I just very neatly plucked the cheese, with clean fingers, plucked the cheese out of his mouth and put it in my own. And it was delicious, I don't mind telling you.
Is that better than a chicken burger?
Definitely.
He didn't care. I was happy.
Waste
why
not, why not?
Yeah. Have you ever done that, Joe?
Yeah.
Only with Neil's Yard, of course. Oh, lovely, lovely cheese.
Yes. That day he was drinking the Farrow and Ball plaint. I just made him vomit all over the toilet wall. So, Jo, do you have a Scummy Mummy confession for us?
Yeah, I have several, but I'm only going to confess if I'm going to be absolved of all sin.
Oh, yes, exactly. Are you Catholic by any chance?
No, I'm not.
We've got the holy wine we can drive on your forehead.
That's right.
This one is also food related. And I was being the good wife by making my husband's packed lunch for him. He's a teacher. And he, because all of the washing baskets in our house are always overflowing with dirty washing, I had used a carrier bag to collect my daughter's dirty washing from her bedroom. Anyway, the carrier bag had somehow got put back in the carrier bag thing. And I filled it with my husband's lunch. And he got to school and he emptied it out onto his desk, and there was a pair of my daughter's dirty knickers. And he emptied it out onto his desk in front of his whole class with his lunch. So that's my first one.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then my second one was, I hadn't even really realised it until I was on my way here and I was rummaging in my bag on the bus just trying to find a muesli bar. But anyway, as I was rummaging, I found a dirty nappy that had actually been in there for 6 days. And I was really quite embarrassed. So, not that embarrassed until I knew that I was going to somebody else's house. And anyway, I put it in somebody's wheelie bin when I was
Very nice. So. But he is, what, 4.5 months? So you're still in the nice poo
zone. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like
a little smear of Coleman's.
Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Jo, for sharing. And you are, I do officially absolve you.
Thank you.
Cleansed. But you'll do something else terrible tomorrow, so enjoy while it lasts. Let's face it. That's how it works. Oh, well, I think that's it, really, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Now, before we go, of course, like us on Facebook, tweet us, email us. But our exciting news is that we will be at the Brighton Fringe in May, 10th, 11th and 26th of May at 1 p.m. at Upstairs at the 3 and 10. Just go to the Brighton Fringe website and you can buy tickets from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like a Saturday, a Sunday and a bank holiday Monday, isn't it? In the daytime. So, you know, get the husband or the wife to, you know, strap themselves to the children and come along. And it's going to be, there's going to be costumes. There's going to be singing, dancing. Oh. So, yeah, please come and see us at the Brighton Fringe. That would be lovely.
Mm. And always stay in touch. We love your confessions. We love your emails. And thank you very much, Jo, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It was brilliant and informative and funny.
Yeah, you've got actual wisdom that you... I feel cleverer, so thank you.
Thank
about
you.
Food.
Pleasure.
All right, thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Bye! What's your dirty food?
Okay.
What's your dirty food? Talk to me. No one else is listening. No one can hear you. Shh. extreme measures.
I really, really love pork scratchings.
I love pork scratchings. Oh my God.
I love them. There's nothing like the combination of pork fat and salt. What's your favourite brand?
I quite like Mr. Porky.
Mr. Porky, yeah.
Right. I should know. I'm a bloody nutritionist. I am a nutritionist. You won't ask me any questions. So
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.